Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you that your words will come tonight and bless us with your wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is Wednesday evening, 3:21. No nonsense look at the book of Revelation. This title of this is The Abomination of Desolation, which, by the way, even it isn't even in the book of Revelation. We're going to start in Luke chapter 21. Everybody there? Well, let's start with verse 1. But he gets into, Jesus is talking to the disciples about the end of days. And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts to the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And so, as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these signs be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Get a drink, just a second. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom with which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. You shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish, and your patience possess you your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh, now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but word shall not pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Right here, he says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Well, here Luke plainly refers, I don't believe, to the final end time events, and I'll tell you why, but of the fall of Jerusalem. One ancient source claims that 1.1 million people were slaughtered during the siege that climaxed in A.D. 70. This is probably an inflated figure, but undoubtedly the loss of life was staggering. Jesus was warning in verse 21. Read that again. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein. Of this, Jesus' early warning of this calamity enabled a number of Christians to flee from Jerusalem to Pella before it was too late. This comes from my Thomas Nelson reference Bible. The times of the Gentiles. This is that period beginning with the Babylonian captivity and ending with the defeat of the Gentile World Alliance when Christ returns in glory at the Battle of Armageddon. Till that time, the city of Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles. This is verse 24 here. And they shall flee by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. So this is the time of the tribes scattering. All right. An illustration here, Paul reminds the Romans that God's primary plan is for his promised people. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Okay. All right. Right here in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and calls Israel the natural olive branch, but he says that God turned his attention to the Gentiles and grafted in wild olive branches. So we're going to look at that. This is Romans 11. There's a few things in Daniel that are not in the book of Revelation. This is verse 15, Romans 11, 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Isn't that something? Think about that. For a person that does not partake of God's goodness, that means they're not in his family and not of his fold. Yeah. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Okay, the application of this is God's willingness to allow Israel, with which he so closely identifies in the Old Testament, in the future kingdom age, to be mistreated should remind Christians that no one is exempt from the consequences of rejecting God's plan. We're going to look at Hosea just a minute. Hosea chapter 3. Probably one of the smallest chapters in the Bible, actually. Verse 1 says, Then said the Lord unto me, Go get love a woman beloved of your friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king shall the fear of the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. So at this time we were talking about, that's whenever Israel was scattered. Okay, their first scattering, it happened again in Babylon. Well, that was before, is that right? That was before. So they've been scattered many times. They're scattered all throughout the earth. We've been traditionally taught that the abomination of desolation is this halfway mark in the seven-year tribulation cycle, also known as the Great Tribulation. We're going to read in Daniel 12 right quick where this is mentioned. Okay, Daniel chapter 12. All right, verse 1, it says, And at the time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? He said, Go thy way, Daniel, for thy words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. Well, I'll tell you why. This is why I believe that Thomas Nelson is right here, because you see no reference of this in the book of Revelation. Not anywhere. I looked. I scoured the book. I don't see anything that gives reference to, okay, the temple being raised up. They were waiting on the third temple. Where is that? It's not in the book of Revelation. And I don't know where it is. I guess I need to do a thorough study on that, because so many people that talk about the rapture theory, well, we haven't seen the Antichrist step up in the temple. the newly restored temple, the third temple. They go, where's that? You know, how's he going to step up in a temple? From what I understand, they have a temple already set up. It's underground over there. And the Temple Institute already has all the implements to put in this so-called temple that they're going to build. But I'm just not seeing it in the scripture. I'm thinking, Lord, so much of the stuff that we got used to hearing about, the three-year mark, you know, the Great Tribulation and all that, you really don't even see that in Revelation. So I said, Lord, we want to know the truth. That's why I'm bringing this. That's why I believe it was 70 AD when it happened, because that's when their temple, the only temple that there is really, was torn down. Jesus said, these big boulders here, there won't be a rock that's not, or a stone, that won't be toppled down. So there's ruins. There is no temple. There is no temple for some weird man to step up in and do something. Okay. All right. And then I have another point. Thus the gathering and the sealing. If we're going to all fly away, why would the Holy Spirit seal us? Okay. Revelation 7. I'm just asking honest questions. Because frankly, a lot of it, I think, is just, we've just heard it. We've not studied it. We've just heard it. This is Revelation 7. It says here, and after these days, or after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So we see the sealing of the 12 tribes. We've read this many times. Each of the 12 tribes. We know that it said over there, Jesus was talking to them in Luke, that they were scattered. They'd be scattered to the four corners of the earth. Okay, I hear my clock. All right, go back to Revelation 5. I want to, just the first 10 verses here. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. These are the seven seals that Daniel was told to seal. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us under our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. It didn't say we were going to evacuate. It said we were going to reign after the sealing on the earth. I see no rapture here. All right, it just references that we're to reign on the earth. Okay. All right, let's go now to chapter 10. In this chapter, I see the transfer of power from the beast to the saints. Jubilee, Nisera. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. When he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices, and when the seven thunders that uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up these things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now, whatever's in these seven thunders, we don't know. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. But I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Okay. Next scripture here. Chapter 11 talks about the weighing and measuring. Reminds me of the handwriting on the wall. The angel took and weighed or measured the temple, found it wanting. All right, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, or saying, arise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. Does this sound like what he was talking about? Daniel, about the temple. Should be tread under the Gentiles, or the holy city should be tread under for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, have power over waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them, and their body shall live in the street of the city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up upon their feet. Well, I've already taught this many times. This, I believe, is the church. It's just not two old prophets that come back from the dead. This is the church. What did the church do? They finally stood up. They were dead. And the beast was, God measured the temple, and what did he find? Not good. Not good. Okay, they stood up on their feet, and fear fell upon all them which saw them. They heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Where do we reign? Up hither. We're seated with him in heavenly places. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. The seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. There was lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. All right, then chapter 12, what do we see here? Here's what I wrote. Us rooted and reigning, seated with Christ in heavenly places. This is where it all started for me when the Lord began to show me right here. This isn't about the rapture. This is about the triumphant church. All right. 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain, to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. We know that's the beast system. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. This is showing what happened, how this all started. Genesis 3. Before Genesis 3. Did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Where does he rule from? Where do we rule from? And I'm telling you, this is a vision. We're decoding this vision. People are so squirrely about Revelation. Everything they think it's literal. Everything is literal. That's why it's never the time. Because literally, most of this stuff, they're never going to see literally. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her for 1,260 days. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against his angels. What do angels do when we hearken to the voice of his word? When we send them on assignments? All right. And prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Isn't that what this battle is about? This is what Armageddon is about. Yeah, I know it's cyber warfare. I know that there are some natural troops on the ground. But as far as the church is concerned, we're sitting in heavenly places, and we are ruling and reigning with him. We are pulling down strongholds. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I heard a voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you with having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. That's the same terminology that was told Daniel. It will be a time, half, you know, times, time, times, and half time. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I believe the woman's Israel. She had 12 stars on her head. Or the star. Okay. Chapter 13. The revealing of the beast system. What has come down from heaven in great wrath to persecute the beast system? What has persecuted us for 6,000 years? What has killed probably billions of people? The system. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. All the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. We know this from what we are under right now, Admiralty Maritime Law. We know it has been tyranny against this country. It's been tyranny against the whole world. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword shall must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. It's a false prophet here. I was listening to someone today. It was a very interesting interview. It was between Bishop Larry Gators and Kirsten W. And it was on weather warfare. And they were talking about how, Bishop Gators was talking about how you can trace weather warfare back to the Vatican in the 1300s, where a man named Fahrenheit and a man named Calculus, that's where we got these terms. And that the word humidity had a sexual connotation to it because they were pedophiles. And that's how they described the little boys. They wanted their little boys a certain way. And so all these terms, and he named all these terms, but he talked about the weather warfare and how with the Paris Climate Accords, how all of us are connected from that because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Air there just means to breathe. So it's our atmosphere where Satan operates through the heart facilities. See, what they want to do is control the whole earth because they have weapons that can shift the plates? Tectonic plates. They have tectonic warfare. They can start hurricanes. They can start volcanoes, set them off. They can cause earthquakes. And if they can do the tectonic shifting of the plates, do you see the trap here? Mm-hmm. From the 1300s, all roads lead to Rome, the old saying goes. Well, it absolutely does, because the very roots of all of this climate change stuff and all this garbage, what we experienced here in Texas, all had to do with the weather warfare and their controlling of the elements to force us to adhere to what they want. But thank God, back when Dorian, the White Hats have learned to counter their moves, and they took Dorian and ended up taking out a dumb in some kind of Chinese facility with that storm, instead of it going to where it was supposed to go and cause the damage it was supposed to damage. Yeah. And someone made this comment. I think it was, I see his face, but I can't think of his name. Scott McKay. That the most Zim holders are in the state of Texas. I heard someone say today that originally it was the first capital, and I couldn't find it. I tried to look that up to verify that. But anyway, I thought, well, I could see maybe because that's probably, they say that's where the capital's going to be, somewhere between the Houston and Austin area, the new capital, or the new White House, all the new government's going to be. So, you know, I can see why they would want to do something like that. But see, this is a worldwide scam. The whole world is bought into this weather, this Paris Climate Accords, and they promote climate change. We know how the climate changes. They change it. They manipulate it. And they've been manipulating it since the 1300s, even. I'm thinking, man, even precipitation meant something else. It was all these phrases, any meteorologist that you hear and all the words that they say all go back to Rome, the Vatican. Even way back then, the prince of the power of the air had an agenda. And they found that manipulating weather patterns manipulates people's emotions. They linked that to MK Ultra. I'm going, wow, it was a lot bigger than I thought. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell. Well, you know what? That's that weather warfare. Fire coming down from heaven. How do you think the California fires were started? There's a man that tracks that. He can show you where the lasers are. I mean, pictures of homes that were burnt to a crisp, cars burnt to a crisp, and all the trees around them are untouched. That ain't no forest fire. That's deliberate. So he can do these great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and didn't live. Well, we're looking at paperclip here. We're looking at Mockingbird television, the MK Ultra box. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would worship the image of the beast should be killed. People sit in front of that box. I know, I did it for years. Now I can't even stand to turn the thing on. Now that I know what it is. Now that I know what it's been used for. Now see, all this is a vision that John's having. And I'm sure traditionals would probably, traditional rapture people would come in here and say, no, this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen. I'm telling you. Visions and dreams have to be decoded. Go look for yourself. Read through the Old Testament. Pharaoh had to have an interpreter. Nebuchadnezzar had to have an interpreter. No, I'm expecting seven skinny cows to show up and eat up seven fat cows. Literally. No, that's not the way it happens. No. You know why nobody's ever done this? Why you've never heard anything like this? Is because nobody's ever thought about it. No one's ever thought about the fact that that's that book I don't touch. That's that book we don't talk about because nobody understands it. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for the number of a man, his number is 666. 100, 86. And I've talked about how many marks of the beast that there actually are. There's so many things. We've just gotten, it's gone from our lifetime, more control, more control, more control. It's just gotten, it's gained momentum to the point now that they've got the whole earth fooled by a cold. Yeah. Okay. All right, 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Who be that? Who is that? That be us. How do I know that? Having his father's name written in their foreheads. These are the sealed. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Why? Because they talk faith. They don't talk anti-God. Now, I already did a teaching on this. It's on the virgins and all the things in the New Testament that qualifies to be a virgin. This isn't 144,000 Jewish men that have never had sex. Okay, just so you understand that. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, this is where we're sitting right now. It's coming down. It is coming down. In fact, what did I say to you today? In Georgia, it's just gone through their, I don't know how if they have congressmen and senators in their state governments, do they?
Yes,
they have reps.
Representatives.
Okay. It said something about going, had to go, it went to two places to pass. It passed one and going to another for a voter ID. All the things that we needed to be done before the election and all that stuff, now you're starting to see these things turn around. Now you're seeing like four states now all completely open, 100%, no mask. Yeah. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. Like I've said before, we're in a place in our nation where people are, there's no more sitting on the fence. There is there's a line drawn in the sand where people choose. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. And I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in the sharp sickle, and gather the grapes of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast in the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. Blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. This is the Battle of Armageddon. This is the deep state coming down. This is that swamp being drained. We need to encourage people today that this is not for those that do right. This is for those that are not right. This time is for those. This harvest right here. The vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. These are the wicked, not the righteous. You can't even get people to read the book because they're so scared. Because they thought it's going to be one way, and it's not going to be the way that they thought it was going to be. Okay. The wrath is not for them, or not for us, but it's for them. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Hope this is making sense tonight. This is just verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we've been delivered from the wrath to come. What wrath is that? What we're seeing. The wrath that's coming on the ungodly. Who's it for? The wicked. What prayer do we pray? The Lord's Prayer. What is, okay, this verse right here. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. God is delivering us from evil. Okay, I now like it 2 Thessalonians 2. All right, chapter 2 here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Revelation chapter 5 is the unsealing. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What temple is that? What's the religious part of the beast system? The Vatican. Okay. All right. He's showing himself to be God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? Now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he that who now letteth will it to be taken out of the way. Well, what was taken out of the way? It was unsealed. Something that was sealed has been revealed. And then shall that wicked be revealed. We start seeing after the unveiling or the seals are open, we begin to see the trumpets. What do the trumpets do? They're false flag events. They're all the evil that they've been doing. You could probably put anything that he's done on the earth in those. Then shall that wicked be revealed, and the Lord shall consume with the breath, spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Well, I think he's been at it long enough, don't you? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perish. If people cannot see today with the fake news and how horrible it is and the censorship, how terrible it is, if they don't see that as these signs and lying wonders, what? There's something that, it's a saying that says, if not now, when? I mean, come on. How bad does it have to get before people actually realize, hey, there's something to that? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them stronger delusion, that they should believe a lie. Well, that's the fake news. The CIA get their 4 a.m. talking points every day. In fact, they played a video, and it shows about 50 different news stations saying the same thing. They all get the same thing. They're not journalists. They're CIA, raised on the farm. They are spewing the same talking points. It doesn't matter what news station that you turn on, they all say the same thing. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They are all, as far as I'm concerned, traitors to this nation and to God for what they've done. Okay. Unsealed and revealed the beast. It has been unsealed and revealed. We can understand that the beast has been ravaging for 6,000 years, and now Jesus is going to take the beast out. All right, we're going to read a little bit more here. Revelation 6, kind of all over Revelation tonight, but it's kind of the way it fell. Told you now, he's been unveiled. Chapter 5. John was weeping because nobody was worthy to open the sealed book, the one that Daniel had, was told to seal. But it was in the hand of the one on the throne. And the elder said, don't cry, don't weep, for the Lamb is worthy to open the seals. So the book of Revelation, actually Revelation means disclosure. It is this disclosure of Jesus Christ coming. That's what the end of days is about, isn't it? About his coming. All right, chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, we looked at this last week, and I think the week before, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the four spirits that are influencing the whole earth. Zechariah chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, that influenced the whole earth. Okay, I'm not going to read all that because we already know that. All right, the four horses. And then he says right here, after the pale horse, the fifth seal, and he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld it when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a wind. Now, to me, that's straight in the swamp. The sports stars, the movie stars, the Illuminati, the bloodline family, those politicians, the stolen and raped and all that's been going on. They've fallen. And the earth, heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks, and the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Of course, we're back to chapter 7 now, where the church, those that are scattered all over the earth, that are the true Jews, that he seals. Okay, Revelation 19. Now keep in mind, everybody thinks this is literal, but I don't think so. We'll see. I hope so. I'd love to see the Lord. But there's only one place, I think it's in Revelation 21, that says, then we shall see him face to face. So that tells me that we're still running and reigning with him. We can never, ever lose sight of our position, where we rule and reign from. All right, this is chapter 19. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. They made a judgment. Okay? So what happened right here? A judgment from the court of heaven. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. You know what the marriage supper of the Lamb is? It is vengeance. You're going to get to observe the birds eat the flesh of all these that did what they did to humanity. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true saints of God. This is why Q says, Enjoy the show. It's going to be a show. Okay. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. You just turned me off, I thought. You hit something. I blinked out. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye shall may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Who's his army? It's us. We're with him. He's with us. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The Lord just quickened to me. It says right here, before him which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They bought the narrative. I'll just have to go over. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Battle of Armageddon is also marriage supper of the Lamb. And I saw an angel, best part, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. All right, a question to you. Why would God gather us and seal us if we were not going to be here? Does it make sense? And Revelation chapter 9 talks about Corona. I do believe that Corona was their crown jewel, their final move to enslave the whole world. Instead, now it has backfired on them, just like it says the locusts come out and start, it stings those and torments those. It's backfired on them and will bring about their total destruction. They nearly did it. They nearly did it. But thank God he had a plan and it's being played out right now. He is doing just what we ask him to do. He is delivering us from evil. Wait a minute. I won't go into it. I had the article about the actual person that desecrated the temple. His name, look at his name here. Starts with an A. And Antiochus. He was the one that desecrated the temple. He sacrificed a pig in their temple. I was talking about AD 70. Anyway, that's what I believe that reference is to. Okay.